passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Florida has been one of the big topics of conversation. So has LSU. We had Brian Kelly on during our first hour. Nick Dellatore joins us now to talk more about the Gators. He covers the team, of course. Everyone trying to figure out what happened Saturday against Kentucky. Nick, thank you for the time. Nick's with On3 Sports. Great to be with you. And give us the state of this program today. We're five games in. There has been one brilliant performance and two clunkers. Where are we?
Yeah, I think based on what I thought, and, you know, when we talked earlier in the season or before the season, Paul, I thought Florida would be a 6 or 7 win team. I think they're young. I think they are going to take lumps because they're young. The game plan against Tennessee was perfect. Florida could not run with Tennessee at the rate that they call plays and the rate that they run their offense. But they needed to sustain long drives, which they were able to. They're really good on third down. It was a great game plan. It was executed to perfection. I questioned the game plan last week at Kentucky. Billy Napier came in after the game and said, "If you know me, this one really hurts because of the way we lost." And Billy Napier's opening press conference said, "We want to be physical. We want to dominate the lines of scrimmage." That's what Kentucky does under Mark Stoops. But he's had 11 years, and he recruits to that identity. They develop to that identity, and they play to that identity. And I don't think Florida went into the game. I think Florida went into the game trying to out-Kentucky Kentucky. And I think Florida can get there if that's what Billy Napier wants to be, that style of offense and that physical type of program. But you're just not there yet. So I don't know that the game plan that they went into Lexington with was going to be successful.
It's pretty hard to figure it all out. But there is a lot of criticism, Nick, and I'm particularly interested in what your view of that is. Not that it matters yet, could matter later, but this isn't just random, I can't believe what I saw. I mean, this is abject disgust from some fans over the performance.
I think when you hire Billy Napier and you look at what Florida had been, Florida had success under Dan Mullen, who I think is a great game day coach, X's and O's, making a game plan, but didn't have any interest in recruiting. And I think when you looked at what was left, Billy Napier needed to take the house down to the cement foundation and rebuild something. And I think he's good at that. He's detail-oriented. The players love him. He loves recruiting. And I think from a standpoint of rebuilding a culture, rebuilding a standard, I think Billy Napier is the right guy to do that. I just haven't been inspired by his play calling and the way that they handle games, whether it's going into the game with a game plan or making adjustments during the game. I haven't been inspired by that. I think Billy Napier could be a great CEO. We saw a bunch of coaches, Eli Drinkwitz, Jimbo Fisher, give up play calling duties. Now, I don't know that Billy Napier views his play calling as the issue right now, as a lot of fans do. I also don't think he has an ego that would prevent him after the season, not during the season, but after the season, saying, "Hey, I think it's in the best interest of the Florida Gators if I step back and we get somebody else to call plays." Because I do think Billy Napier has done a good job of recruiting and getting some structure back into a Florida program that kind of lost it since the 2020 COVID season. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out. And when Billy Napier looks in the mirror after the year, does he think, "Hey, I need to step back and we need to find somebody else to call plays"?
I would think being the CEO or the head coach also involves special teams, and maybe Saturday was slightly better, but there were mistakes all over the board Saturday and every other day. So, I mean, how do you address that when you're the CEO and you're the head coach and everyone has faith in you to turn this thing around and simple, basic Pop Warner football mistakes are being made?
Yeah, I made a joke that Florida had 11 guys on the field, Paul, and then one of the 11 leapt over the long snapper, which gave Kentucky a new set of downs, which Ray Davis turned into a 75-yard touchdown. So that might have been a play where 10 would have been better. I don't understand the recurring issues of getting guys on and off the field. I think we see all across the country now players wear the same number. Florida had that really embarrassing miscue in Utah. You haven't had anything like that. I just don't know. Florida has an analyst as a game, as a special teams coach. They call him the game changer coordinator. I joke that they're the game change group because you don't get all 11 letters in that title. But I don't know what you do in season to change it. I don't know that Billy Napier has ever fired anyone outright. They've had coaches leave for different jobs.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I just got through talking to Brian Kelly. I mean, he's already adjusted his defense because of deficiencies. Mm-hmm. I mean, why do you have to wait for the disaster to occur? Can't you try to prevent it from getting worse?
Yeah, Florida's had a good kicking game since they made a change. Trace Mack, who's their one scholarship kicker who wasn't starting to begin the year, has been really good on kickoffs and on field goals. Just the procedural issues that Florida's having on special teams, I don't have an answer for. I don't know that you should even be having these questions. Currently, Florida's coaching staff doesn't have a on-field coach as a special teams coordinator. They also don't have a vacancy. So it's a situation where I don't think you're going to get a change in the season. If you want to have an on-field coach to coach special teams specifically, you're going to have to make a vacancy on your coaching staff. And I don't think that's a move that Billy Napier is going to make in season.
Nick, I was on the field before the game. I had a chance to talk to Billy Napier with our SEC crew, and he seemed pretty confident. But a couple of minutes later, everything that I thought was confidence turned into complete inability. The team did not look prepared once the game began, and that's become a trend. Napier is now, 1-7 on the road? And some of these games, as you well know, are games that they should have won. I'm not saying they should have won this game on Saturday, but it was essentially a toss-up, though, which had to favor the visiting team. Is there any explanation for this?
Florida is 1-7 away from the swamp. That includes obviously losing in Jacksonville, a neutral site game, and losing the Las Vegas Bowl, a neutral site game. That was one of my big questions, and one of the reasons why I picked Kentucky going into the game was I watched Florida be a procedural nightmare in Salt Lake City. And Billy Napier said it was a great crowd. And I thought, there's 51,000 people here. What are you going to expect when you go to Death Valley in November to play LSU? Like, you can't use crowd excuse for an out-of-conference game against a Pac-12 school as an excuse in my book. So I don't know what the disconnect is. Florida has – they go through a ton of stuff, like I said, with Billy Napier and how detail-oriented he is. They stay in hotels. They practice the procedural things of going on the road and getting on a bus, staying in a hotel, going to the airport, and all of these things. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter if the game is early. Shamar James, the starting linebacker, said he thought the early kickoff Saturday played a factor of them coming out slow. But they came out slow against Utah, and that game was 6 mountain time, 6 local time. So I don't know why Florida can't seem to figure out a game plan and get their ducks in a row when they leave the swamp. Obviously, you get a great home field advantage playing in Gainesville. The fans have been fantastic this year in 2023, but you can't have a 1-7 road record, which includes a loss last year at Vanderbilt.
Nick, I understand the confidence in the future. I've heard Scott Strickland, as you have, talking about time is of the essence. And I also am acutely aware of what Napier did as an assistant coach and, of course, in Louisiana. But is it possible that this job is simply too big for him?
We'll see. I think it will come down to being Steve Spurrier said, if you get a job because you're a play caller, don't give that up. I don't know that Billy Napier got his job for how well he called plays in Louisiana. I think he loves calling plays, loves that aspect of his job. I think if you're not ready for it, you're going to have a tough conversation with yourself and make the changes. I think Florida, outside of, and this is funny to say, I think outside of Saturdays, the program is in a way better place than it was 2 years ago. But none of that matters if you're not winning on Saturday. So I think I'm not ready to say that yet, Paul, that Billy Napier, that the job is too big for him. I think we will learn a lot about what off-season moves are made with the coaching staff and just the structure of, the Army staffers that he's brought to Gainesville.
Nick Delatorre from On3. We appreciate your time, Nick. Tough situation in Gainesville, and we will take a short break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Up next as we continue. Hey, Lou, good afternoon. Did not hear Lou. How about Matt in San Antonio? Hey, Matt.
Hey, brother, how you doing? I was so happy. I told you going to beat them, Paul. Arkansas, they suck the worst since they can't run the ball. And our defense is legit. I want your thoughts on the game, the upcoming game versus Alabama. I got to say Alabama fans.
Yeah, I think it's very much a winnable game for the Aggies.
Okay. Look, I don't want to say Alabama fans. Such a drunken idiot, Larry. Larry, last time in Canton Castle, whooped you, kicked you, sorry things, but and we got to do it again so you can cart back home to Alabama and go drink some beers and go up more of a drunken idiot. And I want your thoughts on, do you think A&M could win the West and maybe go to the national championship? I just want your thoughts on that, too.
It's possible. Hey, thanks for the call. David is up next. Hey, David.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, brother?
Okay.
I was really expecting Matt to talk a lot faster than that and just talk about how bad they were going to beat Alabama this week.
I think he said that.
Paul, I just wanted to ask you, after Saturday, what do you think Bama's chances are of this weekend and running the table? And then Georgia looks vulnerable. Do you think Kentucky make it get them?
Right now, I haven't made up my mind on that. I think Alabama will be challenged to run the table. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's move along and talk to Rick in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey there.
So before I jump into LSU and BK, I just want to tell you a couple of things about the Friday show. Really enjoyed your interview with the president of at Kentucky.
Yeah.
And also with Coach Elzy. Both of them were...
Those were probably my two favorite interviews. Coach Elzy was, and her husband were great, and Dr. Capiluto is always one of the smartest and most thoughtful people we get a chance to talk to all year.
He's very inspiring, too, Paul. But, hey, so let's get into LSU. Man, I tell you what, I was absolutely devastated with the loss and the way we lost. And I'm usually over it by Monday. I'm still upset. But, man, we got exactly what I thought we'd get from Dwayne, and we got exactly what I thought we'd get from Augie. And if Augie thinks BK ought to be fired, that guy is just – he's an idiot. I'm going to tell you – one of the first things that I saw in the game is, for God's sakes, someone please tell Jaden to start sliding. That fumble early in the game where he got the snot knocked out of him, you know, I mean, right there, if he'd have slid, we kept the ball, might have scored. Right there, that could have changed the game. The other thing is on the defense, when we lost Coach Lindsey, not getting a new someone to step in and take his place, just going with someone that was on the staff was a mistake. I guarantee you Coach Jenkins is going to shore up the defensive line, and it's going to happen in a hurry. Some of these young kids on LSU are – they make mistakes, but they're playing really well. I tell you what, LSU's got a superstar in the making in Whit Weeks. LaTerrence Welch is going to be okay. He's going to get better. Ryan Yates is going to be a superstar. Denver Harris is going to come around. LSU is not broken. It's fixable. Alabama is not, it's not a powerhouse this year, Paul. Our offense is spectacular. I have said all year long that Brian Thomas was going to be a breakout player this year, and everything he's done this year is backing it up. Jaden Daniels is a Heisman-worthy candidate right now. And one of the
if I could interject, he is. But to give him even a chance at getting to New York, his team can't lose again. They have to advance down to the SEC championship game. Donnie is in Maryland. Hello, Donnie.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, sir. Been listening to you since 2005. Retired Navy guy, about 35 years. Lifelong volunteer fan. Hey, I don't understand these LSU fans. You have a great coach. Brian Kelly is a great coach. We went through Derek Dooley talking about shower discipline, Butch Jones with every advertisement slogan, and Jeremy Pruitt. If we had a coach that good, we wouldn't have been out in the wilderness for as long as we were. Now we got a good coach. LSU has always been great defense. Derek Mason's out there. He could probably bring him on as some kind of assistant coach. He's a really smart guy. He did a lot of good things at Vanderbilt. But I think these LSU fans, it'll be okay, trust me, because you got great players in that state, one of the best recruiting bases there is. They just need to work on that defense, and the offense is great. And that last caller was right. I wish that quarterback would get down because we lost Hendon Hooker last year. If you don't have a quarterback, you have no shot. They at least have a shot. Thank you for your call. I love Legend. I love I-Man and Jim and Larry. I kind of miss Tammy, but I'm glad she's on that voice on your introduction there. And appreciate all you do, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Great to hear from you. Country is in California. You're on the air. Hello, Country.
Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
Great, thank you.
Hey, so I'm noticing a lot of the Georgia fans and a lot of the SEC fans in general are doing a lot of barking. And what people don't understand is if you compare last year to this year, they had a close game against Kent State and Missouri. But if you look at this year, they've got more injuries this year just at the beginning of the season, and they're basically using third, fourth string running backs. Carson Beck, if you look at the fourth quarter, he literally brung us back alive, pretty much so from the dead, to win that game. I just want to let the Georgia fans know that they're being coached and they're learning. The offensive and defensive line, it's kind of touch and go. But the thing that everybody needs to understand is as you have parts that are missing, you have to run a different way of schemes on the offensive and defensive lines. As the year keeps progressing, what's going to happen is they're going to keep winning. Okay, so if they are close, so be it. It's all about the win at the end of the game. But you also are getting more experience for these players. I'm worried about the wide receiving thing to a certain degree. We're about 70% now, maybe even 50% at running back. But I think Beck just had his breakout moment, and I think that'll build his confidence level up a lot more. With the coaches as well, being able to open up the playbook a little more for him. The only one game that is a concern is actually having to play in Tennessee. Other than that, the rest of the games are pretty much so home games, so I'm not really concerned about those. And we all know
I think you're right about that. I think Georgia is surviving. That may not be a bad thing for them late in the year. Jay is in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Jay.
Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Man, it was a great weekend for college football, huh? I want to shout out to Matt from College Station. We're coming for the Aggies, my friend. We're not worried about the 12th man. We will dominate the Aggies this Saturday. We will win the battle in the trenches because that's what it's going to be, a battle in the trenches. And, Paul, how about them Ole Miss Rebels? Damn good game. Lane needed that win, Paul.
Well, no, Lane finally dialed up a winner. That's his biggest win, and I think a lot of people are really happy for him. Special K is up next.
Thank you, Paul. How you doing? Nice talking to you again,
Thank you, buddy.
I'm a longtime listener, six-time caller. Took a while to get in, but I'm a big Blue fan. A Special K, my name is Keith, but I went to Kent State with Nick Saban and Jack Lambert and Gary Pinkel, and then I lived in Kentucky doing the news for 7 years on the number one station, Channel 27. Turned down the dinner date with Liz Taylor because I had a 15-hour telethon to do. So you know who I am.
I know exactly who you are.
But I just can't. I am so excited about Kentucky right now because it's just I think we got a good shot against Georgia this weekend. But I'm honored that the SEC is going there twice in a row featuring Kentucky. That's great. And I was in Kentucky from 78 to 87. We went to all the home games, and we went to 4 away games in Knoxville, Nashville, LSU, and between the hedges. And my job was to buy the barrel of chicken for the 20 people. That was my job for the tailgating. So when you're in Kentucky, you get it. But I couldn't be happier. But I just want to say one thing. I want to give a shout-out to my buddy David real quick. He passed away. He was a huge Kentucky fan. They had a service for him on Saturday at noon, and he had his wishes were to have that football game being broadcast in the mortuary. They had a packed house there watching the game. I'm just going to say, Big Blue Nation, I love you. Thank you. And one other thing I want to say, legend always says, thank you very much. I'm leaving the building. Well, I'm going to sing real quick. I just want to be your teddy bear. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm not going to sing, but I'm going to say very quietly, we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. SEC! SEC! SEC!
And now it's time for Fansville, brought to you by Dr. Pepper. And Dr. Fansville salutes Ray Davis. How about that performance? Just astonishing. Third most in a game in Kentucky history. 190 before halftime. Let's get back to your calls. And Kevin is up next in Indiana. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. Good to hear you again. Hey. Another UK fan calling in. I don't know if I can talk to Elvis from the last call, but just want to thank you guys for coming to Lexington and everything you guys did on Friday and Saturday to help everything to be a great weekend. And I was sitting in the nosebleed seats, but I have binoculars, and I know I appreciate the way you're paying attention to old Kentucky home. Pre-game.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, I've been to that stadium a number of times, but I've never been on the field when they played that. And that was that was really moving. Such a great song, a historical song. And it's played right before the national anthem. And it was very memorable to be down there to hear that.
Appreciate you saying that. And hey, one last comment or one last question. Hey, give the UK crowd some love right now, and I'll hang up.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's good to hear from you, and what a weekend it was in Kentucky. Jay is in Louisiana. Hello, Jay.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Listen to your program a lot. I think I've called in one time, and I rarely ever call. You know, I just like to listen, and, of course, there's a lot of bannering going on back and forth, but I couldn't help myself today with that yacht from New Orleans, Augie, acting like he knows something about football. I kind of dub him the Buddy Diliberto of callers, if you know who Buddy Diliberto is.
I sure do, yes.
Yeah. Well, you remember with Jim Mora, I think it was Jim Mora or was it Bum Phillips on the way out when he was about ready to leave the Saints, and Buddy asked a question, and I think it was Bum Phillips looked at him and said, you know, you think you know a lot about football. You don't know anything at all. This Augie character, I think he's a closet Tulane fan. He needs to go back to the Earl station and go get him a roast beef dressed all the way, stuff it in his mouth, and go sit in the Tulane stadium.
I think you're right about – I mean, why else would you go to the Tulane Ole Miss game if you're an LSU fan?
Yeah.
You wouldn't care about that.
He's a yat. And I think you know what a yad is.
Yeah,
but
no,
yeah, I've got a few complaints about the team this year. I wish they'd run more. But, you know, Kelly's only had 1 year of recruiting his own players. You always give a coach at least 2 or 3 years of their own players. I mean, we just don't have cornerbacks. If we had cornerbacks, that game would have been different last night. They're just not ready. And, you know, there's some better coaching needs to be done. Players need to play better. But to call for the coach during the game, this guy's not a fan of LSU.
Well,
he's a clown.
Jay, he also called for a change to be made in baseball midway through the season.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that kind of sums it up with Augie.
Well, it wasn't even midway through the season. It was the first SEC series. For some reason, LSU was playing Arkansas at home. It was in March, and we came on late after the game. The game went long, and I believe Arkansas beat the Tigers, and he called in and said, everybody needs to be fired. I said, it's the first conference game of the year. He said, I don't care. He said, this team is a disaster.
Well, it sounds like he's got a Woody for the coach at Auburn. I wish he'd moved to Auburn and get the hell out of Louisiana.
Done a great job, but let's not get.
Well, he has, but come on, we don't know yet. I mean,
no, we do know what Brian.
He's been beaten twice.
He's also you know, played for a national championship. He's gotten his team to 2 other playoffs at Notre Dame. I mean, I just find.
Oh, I know. I'm not knocking him, but I'm just saying to act like the big, you know, the big change should be Hugh Freeze. That's crazy.
That is.
So anyway, that's
crazy.
All I got.
Thank you very, very much for the call. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum. How's it going?
Hey there.
You know, you guys talking about Hugh Freeze. I mean, we watched Auburn play the number one team in the country, and I think you nailed it when you said Georgia's playing in survival mode, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. All you need is 1 point, keep winning. But we see that Auburn is building the foundation of the best concrete available, and they will be fine. I'm not like some of these other fans. Got to fire everybody. You know, Paul, I was listening to some of these press conferences, and just to stay on topic, I mean, you know, it is, you know, Alabama week at 8 a.m. Did Nick Saban say his wife said you got to go holler at him, got to go scream at him?
Yeah, he said Miss Terry said you got to jump all over them.
That must be a hollering damn house, because that daughter of his won't shut up. Now she's involved in it. I mean, listen, you got Deion Sanders trying to save college football. Now you got, what's that little skanky white girl up there hanging out in the NFL games, Taylor Swift. And now you need Miss Terry to save Alabama. Just holler at them. I bet that's a hollering house. You know, when they grew up over there in West Virginia, you know, out there in the hollers, you know, down in the low parts. Dude, Blondie makes me horny. Poor Dan Meagle, have a good day.
Dan is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Dan, we're doing great.
That's good, man. I've been trying to call for about 2 weeks. My wife running around here singing, call Paul. And you about as hard to get on the line as the president. Not that I'd call him.
Well,
I'd end up in jail.
Anyway,
my Tigers looked pretty good. The shoestring tackling on the defense isn't working. That's what I noticed the most, that they were trying to wrap their legs up and they couldn't get the wrap. But besides of that, I think we had a great scoring game, and Jaden Daniels was phenomenal, I would say.
He was.
But anyway, that's all I got. I ain't calling for Kelly's head. I think he's a good guy, and we're going to be all right.
Yeah, you can't judge a program on a manic Monday. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. James in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How are you, buddy?
We are doing well.
Hey, me and my 8-year-old son just wanted to call you. You signed his football there Saturday in Lexington.
Wow.
And come over and took a picture with him. And, you know, he loves you. And we just want to say thank you. And what did you think about the crowd? And also, do you think we got a chance of winning the East? Do you think we got a chance of beating Georgia? That's kind of where I'm at.
I think it's the best chance Kentucky's going to have. I thought everything about Lexington was phenomenal. I mean, we had a great time there, went out Friday night, and just felt the vibe in that community. And Saturday, everything about the pregame was about as good as we've ever had. Hey, thanks. Really appreciate you guys coming by to say hello. We head to a break. We have a lot more to do. We'll talk about Ole Miss's big win over LSU coming up in the next hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and let's check in with Dawson in South Carolina. Hello, Dawson.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller. How you doing?
Hey there. How are you?
I'm good. What are your thoughts on Cade's growth these last three games? Cade Klubnik.
I'm sorry, Dawson. Okay, Klubnik. I think he's potentially going to be a really good quarterback. I can't blame him for what happened to FSU. That was the kicker's fault.
Yeah, the kicker. We need a good kicker right now. We can't make much field goals or extra points.
So what do you think about the rest of the way? You think Clemson can bounce back?
Yeah, I think Dabo's dynasty's not over. I think we're going to win out and do pretty good this season.
Okay, well, Dawson, thank you for being a fan, unlike some of the folks that have called in here today. He is not giving up on his Clemson Tigers. Are you? Yeah, thought you were. How about Mac in Florida? Hey, Mac.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I've called a few times. I'm glad you accepted my call. I'd like to talk about Billy Napier. You know, I'm a diehard Gator fan, and I just don't understand as a coach how he walks around the sideline and he has, like, no emotions, man. These are 18, 19-year-old kids. You got to have some kind of emotion. I wonder if that's why he's having a hard time getting these kids fired up. And truthfully, I think we could use an offensive coordinator. I mean, not that, you know, I say he does a horrible job, but if you look at all the schools, most of them have offensive coordinators, and we don't. And my last thing I'll go out to say, and I'd like to say this to all the Big Blue Nation, good luck with Georgia.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. How about Al in Memphis? Hey, Al.
Hey, Paul.
What's going on, Al?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing
you made a statement a minute ago that LSU was going to win the rest of their games, except the questionable one was Alabama. I agree with you, except on 2 points. They need to fire the defensive coordinator today and teach these kids how to tackle somebody.
Well, I think what you Al, I had somebody give me the number this morning, and I cannot remember what it was, but the number of missed tackles, they had 42 missed tackles.
Yeah, and this is not just in this game. If you go back and look at all the rest of them, even in the Florida State game, they couldn't tackle anybody.
No, I'm asking you. I know you know football, but 34, I think we may have had it too high. 34. So what is the – I mean, I realize there are some reasons why you miss a tackle, but when you miss that many missed tackles, there is more to it than the guy getting past you. There's an explanation for that, and I think it comes down to preparation and coaching and attitude.
Well, yeah, fundamentals. You know, I think the kids in Pop Warner football can tackle better than the LSU guys can.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is. I don't know what their coaching staff does during the week to teach these kids fundamentals on how to tackle somebody, but they need to go back and review them and get it back online.
If you compare today versus yesteryear, there's not a lot of live action. Or not nearly as much as there used to be, and I understand why, but I wonder if that has something to do with it.
Well, that could be. That could very well be.
Where they're not
but,
practicing.
You know, you look back at the defense that the LSU used to have when Queen was there and all these other guys, they didn't miss tackles. They did not miss a tackle.
No, it's inexcusable. And it really, if you eliminate five of those missed tackles, we may very well not have been having this conversation. Thanks so much for the call. Expired is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, yeah, hey there, buddy.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time. I'm chewing some pork ribs right now. I haven't left over since Saturday.
Hey, I mean, the way that series is going, you're bound to gain weight off of pork rinds.
You know, Paul, as bad as A&M really played, I mean, I'm saying some costly turnovers and whatever you want to say, that could have been a 50-3 game.
Yeah.
I mean, it really could have been, because if you look at the stats, they couldn't block us. I've been saying it since the spring. Our defensive line is as talented as anybody in the nation. I think it's finally starting to happen. I'm not really sure what transpired since the Miami game, but something has, and I'm really confident that we do have a good defense. We're a little suspect in the secondary, but I think we gave up 4 passing yards the last 2 games in the second half combined of both games, so that's pretty impressive. But when you get 7-8 sacks a game, it's hard on the quarterbacks, and I guess what I was mainly most satisfied as a fan and as an ex-coach is the way we tackled KJ Jefferson, because that dude the last 2 years, we never tackled him. I mean, you'd get your hands on him, but he'd just break loose and go and go and go and go, which was – he's an amazing player, but really happy with what happened on Saturday. And it brings up a showdown this Saturday in College Station, and this is what this is why we paid Jimbo the big bucks, to win a game like this. Okay, and have a chance to be 3-0 and alone in first place in the SEC West, and really go on a run that the Aggies deserve and the Aggies fans want so bad. And this is it's gonna be 71 degrees, Paul. When you were there, it was 171, I believe. And it's gonna be a great day for football. I'm not gonna talk trash to Alabama fans till Thursday. I do have respect for that program and what they've done, but it's gonna be one hell of a football game. I think it's going to be a defensive battle with some guys laid out on the field. Unlike Arkansas, they're a really, really good football team that's going to give us one hell of a game. And that Kyle Field's going to have 110-plus, and it's going to be freaking wild. Thank you, sir. You have a great day. I'll talk to you later this week.
Expired, I cannot wait. You got me ready to – I'm going to see if I can find a ride out there. Let's take a break here. We have plenty to go. We're only at the halfway mark. Zim will be in here in just a minute to give you the update on what has been going on today in the SEC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.